engaging sermons on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus came to Capernaum with his followers, and on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and taught. The people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. In their synagogue was a man with an unclean spirit. He cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Jesus rebuked him and said, "Quiet, come out of him." The unclean spirit convulsed him and with a loud cry came out of him. All were amazed and asked one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." His fame spread everywhere throughout the whole region of Galilee. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, brothers and sisters, the scriptures are clear about the dignity of every human life. What is man that you are mindful of him? The Son of Man that you care for him? Human life itself, cared for by God because it's created by God, because God loves everything he has created, as Genesis tells us, he finds it very good. God rejoices not in the destruction of the living, but that all things might have life. Death was not part of his original plan. God is the God of life. So we see in this passage, the letter to the Hebrews quoting Psalm 8, which was also our responsorial psalm, affirming the dignity of human life. We are indeed the crowning of God's creation. He makes the stars, the oceans, the animals, and then at the crowning of that whole process, he makes human beings. In his own image, male and female, he created them. When we talk about the sanctity of human life, we're making reference to the fact that life comes from God, it belongs to God, and it goes back to God. And throughout life, we have a special relationship with our Creator. Everything that has been created is his creation. But we're able to know that in a way that the mountains and the rivers and the oceans don't know that. We know it, we're conscious of it, and we have free will in order to return to God the praise that he deserves for all this creation. The rest of creation, if you will, speaks silently. The heavens declare the glory of God. They don't know it, but they declare it by their very existence, by their beauty, by their power. But we can declare it consciously, offer praise to the Lord. We have a unique relationship with the one who created us. This is part of the dignity of human life as well, and it's the foundation of our freedom of conscience, our freedom to worship God in the way that we see fit. All of this, of course, a basis for saying that the human person must be respected. People cannot be used as simply objects and certainly cannot be owned, possessed, or destroyed. Nobody owns human life except God himself. Our right to life comes directly from him. We are entrusted to the care of our parents. In fact, our parents are called to cooperate with God in this marvelous work of creating each individual human life. And you know, obviously, the physical makeup of our bodies is passed on from our parents. But the unique soul that each of us has is created directly by God when we are conceived. When we are, the physical process of conception is happening, God directly creates and infuses a human soul. All of this not only is a great gift to be marveled at, but it's a serious obligation to be fulfilled in the protection of the right to life. And that's where we start thinking about the role not only of, first of all, of families. The family is the sanctuary of life, the role of the church bearing witness to life, the role that we all have in helping and serving and encouraging one another and helping parents in the begetting and educating of their children. But there's a role for government here too. And we have a president that understands that role and has fulfilled that role in an extraordinary fashion. Because he understood, President Trump has understood, what our founding fathers put in the Declaration of Independence. That all of us are endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights. Now, inalienable means that they cannot be taken away from us, nor can we throw them away. They are inherent in our nature. We cannot be who we are without having built in the right to life. So nobody gives that to us. They can't be taken away, neither can they be given. The government doesn't bestow the right to life. Our founding fathers said in the Declaration of Independence just the opposite, that it is God who bestows the right to life. So what's the role of government? It's not to bestow it. It's to secure it. They use the word secure. In other words, government authority recognizes that there's a right there already bestowed by the Creator. It exists to secure it, make sure nobody tries to take it away, make sure nobody tries to authorize killing that person. Not only can you cannot kill, you can't authorize someone else to kill. And this is the foundation of government's responsibility to be pro-life. It has been widely said, I have been saying it for years, so have many others, it has become common to say it within the pro-life movement, that President Donald Trump has been the most pro-life president we have ever had. Now, we have had other pro-life presidents in the past, Ronald Reagan, George W. Bush, etc. But President Trump has gone above and beyond what all of them have done in securing this fundamental right to life. Now, remember, we have three branches of government. So the president by himself cannot eliminate abortion. The Congress by itself cannot do that. The courts by themselves cannot do that. It has to be all three branches of government, each exercising its own responsibility as delineated in our Constitution, based on which then we have other laws further delineating their responsibilities or what they are able to do and how they are able to do it. So nobody should think that any of these government officials can just, with the stroke of a pen or the waving of a magic wand, restore protection to the unborn. But they each can do something. This president has done everything under his authority to be advancing this cause. And let me give you just a few of those highlights. First of all, the role of the president vis-a-vis the law is that if a bill comes to his desk, he can sign it if it's a bill he agrees with, or he can veto it if it's one that he disagrees with. He has signed pro-life laws, for example, early in his administration. Action was taken by the Congress to restore to the states the right to redirect money, your tax money and mine, to away from the abortion industry, away from the killing of babies, and to healthcare services that protect life and that respect life. The flow of money is a very big area of pro-life battles, and it makes a difference because the more money that the abortion industry has, the more lives it ends up taking, the more facilities it can build, the more advertising it can do, the more employees it can hire. And President Trump has, both on the state level, by the measure I just mentioned, and also on the federal and international levels, taken a lot of money away from the abortion industry. On the federal level, for example, there was already a law in place saying that healthcare, family planning services throughout the United States that receive government money through a program called Title X are not supposed to be involved in abortion. Well, what does it mean to be involved in abortion? The boundary was getting kind of loose and foggy, and President Trump decided to strengthen that boundary, to highlight that prohibition, to enforce it, and did so to such an extent that Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in the country and in the world, was forced to drop out of the Title X program, losing some $60 million a year from that program. Good for him. The president doesn't write the law. He's not entitled constitutionally to write new laws. What he does is enforce the laws, and that's what this Title X progress was all about. Also on the international level, the president protected our tax money from going to international groups that perform or promote abortion overseas. In pro-abortion administrations, and all the Democrat administrations are pro-abortion, they, and Obama, for example, and Biden with him, they were saying to countries, yeah, we'll come in and we'll help you, you know, we'll bring you international aid, we'll help you to feed and teach your children, but we also want you to abort your children. And they actually put pressure on these countries while coming in ostensibly to help them, put pressure on them to change their abortion laws. And instead of protecting the lives of their children, encouraging them or pressuring them to allow those children to be killed. President Trump changed all that, said we will not give any money on the international level to abortion in any way, shape, or form. And he expanded that protection. He expanded the so-called Mexico City policy. It's now called the Protecting Life in Global Health Assistance. And it protects like $8.8 billion of aid from going to, in any way, groups that perform or promote abortion. Why should we think that the killing of babies is something good that we want to encourage in other nations? That has nothing to do with helping other nations develop. It has nothing to do with assisting their people. Let's assist them with food. Let's assist them with medicine. Let's assist them with education. Let's assist them with security. Let's not kill their children. President Trump, furthermore, in his role as the one who can sign or veto legislation, first of all, has encouraged the Congress to pass laws protecting the babies in the womb. He has said over and over again in countless speeches that we recognize, we as Americans, that every child, born and unborn, is made in the sacred image of God, exactly reflecting what the reading today said to us. What is man that you are mindful of him, or the Son of Man that you care for him? You crowned him with glory and honor. The president has articulated and echoed this time and time again, and then he wants to translate it into practical policies that the Congress must enact. And one of the things that the Congress is most able, ready, and willing to do right now, that is up until now, until pro-abortion deranged and corrupt people that want to kill babies could get into power. It doesn't make any sense. But the president has urged the Congress pass the laws that the vast majority of the American people support to protect children from abortion in the latest stages of pregnancy. We do this piece by piece, but this is a piece that enjoys a lot of support right now, and the legislators know it. Protect the babies in the 6th, the 7th, the 8th, the 9th month of pregnancy. And also protect the ones that, after a late-term abortion is done, sometimes survive, because these late-term abortions are essentially very often inductions of labor. And while the intent is to kill the baby in the process of that labor, sometimes they survive. So the question is, well, under the law, what should be done if a baby comes out alive? Well, what the president is saying is make sure the law is protecting that baby and requiring the doctor to send that baby to a local hospital for the appropriate medical care that the doctor will determine. But what it's saying, it is never appropriate medical care to kill the child. The president supports it. He's urged Congress to pass it. Congress has initiated efforts to pass it. Democrats block it. Democrats say no to it. Why? You're going to have to ask them, because it makes absolutely no human sense at all. You have to ask them, and guess what? When you do, they've got nothing to say. But they insist that the blood keep flowing. This has been the president who has spoken most directly, most clearly, most passionately about this. He has said, furthermore, to the Congress, you send me a bill that weakens any protections that do exist for these children in the womb. You send me a bill that tries to pour more money into the abortion industry. I will veto it. And that pledge to veto was then backed up by the Republican members of the House and the Senate, who said, again, in public letters, we will, in fact, sustain these vetoes if it comes to that, if it's necessary to do that, if the Democrats try to create a bill that tries to put more money into the abortion industry. Something else that the president has done that has been very often behind the scenes and not in the headlines, he has made sure that the federal agencies recognize, for example, the Department of Health and Human Services, what kind of humans are you serving? What does that mean, that it's human services? Well, his administration made it clear in the documents of that department that when we talk about humans, we're talking about humans from when they begin to exist, from fertilization. In other words, including the humans that are growing in the womb. It's actually written into the strategy documents of these agencies. Furthermore, those agencies have made it clear that we will not use government money for research projects that use the bodies or the tissues from aborted babies. The Trump administration stopped that money from going to research projects that use the bodies of aborted babies. As I said, we protect the sanctity of life, not using human bodies for as if they were just products. Furthermore, a lot of the pro-life battle has to do with conscience. You've heard stories, some of you maybe have experienced pressure in your own lives or in your work to be involved in abortions. Medical students being forced to learn abortions, nurses and doctors being forced to participate in them, even though they make their beliefs known that they do not want anything to do with it. There are already laws that exist. Remember, the president doesn't make laws, but he does enforce them. There are already laws that exist that protect conscience rights. President Trump not only directed his administration to enforce those laws, but they created a whole new office for doing so. Under the Office of Civil Rights of the Department of Health and Human Services, they created a division for conscience and religious liberty. And that office, although the overall Office of Civil Rights had only received about 10 complaints over the previous 8 years from citizens who said, hey, I'm being forced to violate my conscience, please help me, Once they opened that office a few years ago, hundreds and hundreds of complaints started pouring in from citizens who say, I know that the law is being violated. A nurse, for example, in Vermont who said, I'm being forced to participate in an abortion. I already told the medical center I don't want to. They forced me to do it anyway. The President Trump's administration stepped in and dealt with that situation. Gave them plenty of time to comply with the law, but when they didn't, it stepped in. It stepped in with the state of California. The whole state was trying to force abortion into health insurance policies throughout that state. President Trump's administration stepped in and said, you're violating the law. You have to comply to it. We're not. And one of the things that they do, of course, to enforce these laws is withhold federal money from the institutes that are violating the law. Whether it's the state or medical centers that receive federal funding. So he has increased the conscience rights of people. He has helped groups like ours at Priests for Life and other groups that we were being told under Obama Biden, that we had to include coverage of abortion in our health insurance plans. And we said, no, that violates our faith. We're not going to do that. And it was only President Trump and his administration that protected us, allowing us to live out our faith and be good citizens at the same time. What about the courts? The abortion battle plays out in the courts. It was the courts that brought us abortion on demand. He has placed not only three justices on the Supreme Court, but hundreds of judges on the other federal courts, judges who are pro-life and will uphold laws and policies that uphold the God-given right to life. We can go on and on. We don't have more time here right now, but we could go on and on all day and all night and tomorrow, talking about the pro-life accomplishments and priorities and witness of this administration under President Donald Trump. For all of this, and for the countless lives that have been saved as a result of all of this, lives that have been saved, we want to give thanks today in the course of this Mass, using the prayers that the Church provides for a president, using the readings that we have just heard. Again, what is the Son of Man that you are mindful of him, that you care for him? You crowned him with glory and honor. God loves human life. Government is to protect human life. President Trump has fulfilled that obligation enthusiastically, standing side by side with us at the March for Life and other pro-life events. We give thanks to that, for that. We give thanks to him. We give thanks to the Lord. May we together always speak up, whether in our families or in the halls of government, for the right to life. Lord Jesus, thank you. You have crowned us with glory and honor. We rejoice in your love for us and in the salvation that you bring us. Amen.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.